What is up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in. This is the Matt Ramage Show, presented by Quick Trip. We are here today with my guy, the Green Bay guy. Before we get into that, I want to talk to you about Quick Trip. They got the take-home meals. They got them at a discounted price. So go ahead and check out the Quick Trip take-home meals. They got the macaroni and cheese. They got the bacon macaroni and cheese, stuffed mashed potatoes, all types of goodies over there at Quick Trip. Make sure you go check out the take-home meals while they're at a discounted price. But we are here today with my guy, Ben, the Green Bay guy. How have you been doing, man?
I've been doing well. How about yourself?
I am good. You know, this season was a wild one, but you got some stuff coming up. Before we talk about the Packers, I want to get into that, obviously. But you got some stuff that you want to start doing. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone who has been with my page for a minute, for years back, knows that I used to do a podcast. The episodes are still on my website, but I'm looking to kind of kick things back off, I'm hoping. We're in the process of looking at avenues to finish out my basement, which would then turn that into an office where I could do a little bit more video content. So nothing definitive yet. But that's hopefully the goal here, depending on how expensive that's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be. That's why I got I got my son's old bedroom. I got this standing desk. Now, check this out for people watching our video. I can make it go up and down.
My man's fancy. Yeah, see, you can kick your kids out of the house. I can't kick Mason out yet. He's only 6 months. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe. I just, you know. Our rooms are going to be filling up quick here as our family grows. So
yeah, your family is growing, and my kids are like, we want to get out of here.
Kick them out of there.
He comes enough. Back to visit, and he's like, I'll just sleep in my old room. Like, no, yeah,
no, you won't. That. No, you won't.
Where your bed used to be, now there's a desk and a bunch of beer cans. But I also want to get into give a shout out to Mr. Nicolay Law. I'm representing the hat right here. He's a sponsor of mine and yours too.
Yeah,
everyone sees the banners all over the place, and I got a chance to talk to him, and I'll say, like, he's just like the most normal guy. He has a Wisconsin tattoo like on his forearm. Like,
I love it.
He seems, and I DM with him a little bit on Instagram. He's like the coolest guy. So everyone,
I'm wearing a shirt as well. I don't know if you caught that. So I got the Nicolay Law shirt on. So we're both repping.
If you're a content creator in Wisconsin, chances are Nicolay Law is sponsoring you.
or a billboard.
Yeah. Like yeah.
It's one of the two.
If there's a big post with an empty blank page on the highway, Nicolay's like, I'm going to need my face on that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we just went back to visit my brother, and we took some very back roads, and I saw some empty space, and I was like, why isn't there a Nicolay billboard here? After seeing them for every 10 miles, you know, for 200 mile drive. I just, you know, you could get,
he's
advertising on the boonies there.
Yeah. I was driving by one of those things the other day, and I was going to take a picture of it. And then I was like, I got to focus on the road. I was like, I'll end up running into
that's
someone.
Probably good.
Don't hire Nicolay Law.
Exactly. That might be a conflict of interest, though, on him if he's partnered up with you and suing you at the same time.
Yeah, that might not be good. He's like, I'll take my money back. But we're going to talk about some Packers, all right? You know, we got the Super Bowl's coming up. I'll ask you about your Super Bowl picks later. But the Packers should be playing, first of all, in this Super Bowl. I mean, but I don't like to say that because, like, you lose or you win, whatever. I don't like to be bitter about it, but it's very difficult not to be bitter about it. But like, overall, on this season, what were your expectations? I know most people's expectations weren't real high, but, like, how do you take away from this season? Are you disappointed? Are you like, eh? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I know a lot of people said, okay, hey, we're playing with house money at this point. Knowing that you were putting up a fight against the number one seed San Francisco team when you're a young team and 40%+ of your salary cap's not even playing on the field for you. You know, I think that's very optimistic going forward. However, it's tough when the opportunities presented themselves and we didn't capitalize on it. Now, we definitely had plenty of luck along the way that I think it's overlooked by the opportunities that we were unlucky. you know, for example, San Francisco not having Debo was a big lucky thing for Green Bay. During the season, there was a lot of moments that Packers had lucky breaks that without those lucky breaks, they might not even make the postseason. So, you know, it's you have your lucky moments and you have your unlucky moments. I thought the Packers heading into the season would be like 7-10, maybe 8-9. So pretty close to where I was at, but I didn't expect a postseason run like we went on. How about yourself?
Yeah, the whole house money thing annoyed me at the not really annoyed me because I don't care what people say, you know, fan how you want a fan. But like coming into the season, I wouldn't say I didn't have high expectations. I predicted 10 wins, but I always say this, like sometimes my predictions aren't like, I don't like saying like anything negative because like Bears and Viking fans, I feel like they get enjoyment out of it. But I didn't have like crazy expectations. I didn't expect them to go to the playoffs and like play good. I thought that maybe, you know, Jordan Love come out swinging. But I knew that there was going to be ups and downs, right?
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
But then after, they had that 4-game losing streak, Jordan Love had his bumps, and they had a lot of injuries. The team wasn't really playing good. They weren't playing good football. They were losing. It was ugly. Every, you know, defense was making every quarterback offensive player of the week, and it was just atrocious. But once they got going and they started clicking, Jordan Love was doing it. Not just Jordan Love, though, the offensive line, the receivers, the offense was just clicking, moving together. So then when they say like house money, I was like, no, that's not house money. Like these players ain't thinking about house money. These players ain't thinking like, yo, I'm just happy to be here. We're having a good time. They were good enough to win. But in this league, that's what it is. Like you win or you lose. Like you mentioned, like sometimes you get lucky breaks. That's why when they talk about game of inches, like they don't just mean like, you know, you get a, you know, 3rd and 8 and you get to the 1, like it, just little things, a ball bounces your way. It doesn't bounce your way. A key guy gets hurt on some weird thing. And on the other side, the other team player, maybe a key player goes down like Debo did. And like little things like that happen, but the Niners were able to overcome. The Niners, like, dude, like if you're on that team, like if you're down, they must not ever be worried.
No.
Because like it's not even just them being so great, and I'll give them their props for sure. But like the Packers and the Lions just kind of like let it slip away and made some key mistakes, especially the Lions. I mean, I'm not gonna go here and drag the Lions.
Yeah.
I'd like to. But
well, as a Packers fan, I know how painful that loss must feel for Detroit fans. Yeah. You know, you have a 17, was it 17? They were up at halftime, 24-7. I think it was. And the first half, man, they couldn't be stopped. Like the 49ers had no answer. And then the second half, they just imploded. And I've seen that as a Packers fan. I've seen that way too many times in the postseason. So I know how painful that is, especially in the NFC Championship, and even more so when most of their fans probably, at least most of the fans that you're seeing on social media, probably weren't old enough to remember the last NFC Championship game from 1991 for the Lions. So that's extra painful. You know, we've had at least a lot of success, even if you don't make it to the mountaintop. You've had strong seasons every year for the most part. Yeah. We've had a couple here or there. But, I mean, you're witnessing 0-16. You're witnessing quarterback corral. You're witnessing optimistic eras or years like 2014 for the Lions that they don't get past the wild card round against Dallas. And just pain after pain after pain. And now you get there and you're winning the big dance and it's all but – your ticket's all but punched. And then you just watch it slowly go away, and you know that feeling too, because at least as a Packers fan, I'm still like PTSD from the NFC Championship game, right? Like you're even when you have a lead and stuff just starts happening, you're like, oh, here we go, you know, he missed that third down conversion, now it's the tides are gonna turn, oh, there's a fumble, the tides are turned, you just like that cloud hangs over you for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to remind everyone who watched on YouTube, Facebook, be sure to tap that like button. I'd appreciate it. But talking about like those big games, I mentioned like the Lions. I made a video and I was kind of talking about, I know how Lion fans feel. A lot of Pack fans like don't be nice to them. But the whole point of that video was I posted like the 8 Mile, you know, Eminem.
Yeah.
When you're like choke, and like, but I ain't trying to be. I think Lion fans are the least hated fans from our division for me. They don't really come at me, but I get it because they always sucked. And I see him pop up. My point on that video wasn't to be like, oh, you'll do better, Lions. And I wasn't trying to cheer him up. I was just saying, like, you guys are a respected team now. You made it to the NFC Championship game. This is what it feels like when you're at one of those teams that get to go to the playoffs. There's only one team wins the Super Bowl. You know, two teams get to go. And the rest of everybody is sad. But instead of being sad in October, you know, now you get to be sad, you know, in January. And I do think that the Lions will be back. I think the Packers
and the pain hurts a lot more in January than it does in October.
Yeah, when you have expectations to be good, and then you especially the way that they lost, you know, going for it on fourth down, I thought that was a horrible move. But like, people are like, that's how they got there, though. But like, yeah, that's how they got there. But like, in that situation, I think, all right, let's kick a field goal. I mean, I don't disagree with a lot of it, just that one towards the end, like when that crumbling began, they got to kick the field goal there, take the points. But what are you going to do?
They didn't watch the Packers the week before. You know, you take the points and build as big of a lead as you can, because with San Francisco, you never know with, you know, how quick they can turn it around.
I see people. We'll grab a few comments here. Jordan Love thought he was Brett Favre last throw. Like that throw, because I saw a lot of people like dragging Jordan Love, and I've been a big supporter of Jordan Love all season, and I'll continue to be. I think Jordan Love is going to be that dude. That throw was obviously bad. He said it. It's a cardinal sin in quarterbacks. Like that was reminiscent of Brett Favre and the Vikings, which was a beautiful thing when he threw that late interception to keep them out of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you know, with Jordan though, he had made those passes. You know, even in the postseason, earlier in the game, he had thrown across his body to the sideline to Dobbs. I mean, yeah, it's easy to say like, oh, this one ended bad, so it was a bad thing. But you see freak quarterbacks make that all the time, and that's football.
I think sometimes like they don't see a guy, they don't like put enough on it, whatever. But yeah, I think it's best not to do it, especially on first down. But I think Jordan Love is going to be a big time player in this league. Like you're going to be talking. He's going to win MVPs. And I said this before the season started. I said Jordan Love will win MVP in his first three seasons. I think it can be next season. I think Jordan Love can win. I think the Packers are going to the Super Bowl next season. I know people are like, you're the delusional Packers fan, but like, look at this team. They get a new defensive coordinator, and hopefully they don't miss. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but they get a good defensive coordinator, and I feel like every team, all these defenses, when they get a new coordinator, they play up. Even if it doesn't last for years, that first year, everyone's excited. Everyone's running around. They become like a top five, top 10 defense. This offense is going to do it. Like Jordan Love, everyone like talks about like, well, their record was this and that. But like, yeah, that was his early – it was his first year starting. Mistakes were made. And not just him. It was receivers' first years. They're rookies and are second-year players. And so, like, they weren't all gelling. But now, after this offseason together, dude, I have no doubt this offense will be one of the best offenses in the league. Aaron Jones is talking about he wants to come back. I don't know what's going to happen there. People saying he should take a pay cut. Like, I don't know. I never tell a player to take a pay cut. He's done a lot. He's a big, huge leader for this team. Aaron Jones should definitely be back. I'm not no contract guru, but I'm not really sure what he's due. I'll have someone on later on. not that you're not smart, but I think you're similar to me.
I'm definitely not. You know who I get my cap stuff from is, what is his name, Ken Ingles?
Yeah. He's like the guru on Twitter.
Yeah,
he's
the one. Ken Ingles is wild. Like, I don't know what he does. I'm not on Twitter much, but that is definitely one guy to follow if you're curious about anything salary cap wise.
Yeah,
because that guy just. I don't know how he understands it as well as he does, but it's impressive.
Yeah. So this offseason, what are you expecting? Like, I don't think we have a lot of key free agents, and like I say, we're probably not the best people to start cracking this thing over. But like, what do you expect this offseason? People leave. What are you expecting to draft? What are you thinking?
Yeah, man. It's funny how time seems to repeat itself. You know, when Rodgers came in as his first start, they had a defensive coordinator that they parted ways with after the first season to bring in Dom Capers. Now the Packers have parted ways with their defensive coordinator to bring in a new coordinator. I don't know if they'll bring in a long-time established coordinator like they did with Capers. It sounds like they're going to go a little bit younger, but it's funny how it just feels like time is one big circle that we just keep circling around. But I don't think they'll do much for like free agency signing. I still think that there's cap issues they need to figure out. You know, we maxed out the visa back in 2019 and we're still kind of making payments now on it. So I think it's going to be a lot of draft, and hopefully you have another draft like you did the last 2 years, and that can really help set you up for some massive success. But you know, never say never. I don't know how cap works. It's all made up to me. So I know, yeah, I'm not, you know, when I play Madden, I'm not good at managing the cap. I have no idea what a lot of those things do, or how to move money around like they do, but I just don't. The Packers historically just aren't super aggressive. They were in 2019 when they signed Amos, Bull Smith, Billy Turner. But I also think they saw the window was closing on Rodgers and they wanted to put as much talent around him to try to win a ring. Now, yeah. People don't give him much front office much credit for it because it didn't pan out. But I just don't see him making that big of a splash again. How about yourself?
I don't think that they will. Cause like you mentioned, when they did that with Amos and the Smith guys, there was like a window they felt was closing. Right now, I feel like they're like, bro, this window is about to open all the way up. This window. So we don't want to get crazy. And I feel like that they're confident on the offensive side of the ball.
Yep.
Where they could draft probably running back. Cause like kind of what they do is like they draft running backs. Like when they had Aaron Jones and Jamal, then they drafted AJ Dillon, kind of knowing that they're probably going to lose one of those Aaron Jones, Jamal. Everyone kind of thought it was going to be Aaron Jones because he's going to get big money. He took a pay cut, wanted to stay here. So it ended up being Jamal Williams. But I feel like that they're probably going to draft a running back somewhere. I'm not like no
they,
draft.
They have
I don't.
To.
I don't.
I mean, they
yeah, have I'm to. Not a mock draft guy. But yeah, I would assume they would. But I think that they're going to build it through the draft. I think they're happy with the offense, defense. We could see, maybe I could see them trying to grab, but they're not going to grab some big name guy. Maybe they grab someone for the secondary. I wish they would have kept Rasul. That was one move. Like I'm a big, like, I think like you mentioned, this front office gets dragged by the Packers fans.
It's wild.
But they, I mean, I think that kind of toned off a little bit because you started to look at this offense, like this draft, these young receivers, these young guys that no one ever heard of and no one, you know, you play Madden, and sometimes they're not even on the team. Like if you simulate, they're gone. Cause like Madden even doesn't have no respect for them. but they did a great job. Jordan Love, they got dragged the same way with Aaron Rodgers. Everyone says, don't compare them, but how can you not?
Yeah.
But like when Jordan Love draft pick was just dragged, they stood on it. They're like, no, this is it. It ended up being good. I feel like they're just going to build through the draft. They're not going to get crazy with free agency. We got some comments. We got safety, corner needs. That's what I would think. Rudy Ford, I'm a big Rudy Ford fan.
I love Rudy. I hope he comes back because he's a free agent.
His quarterback rating being thrown against is really low. He got hurt, but I think he's a big guy. I would like to see him come back. I'm a big Rudy Ford fan. I know a lot of Packer fans don't really talk about him too much. But I've actually had him on my podcast. I think this offseason, I'm going to try to do it again. We DM back and forth on Instagram a little bit. He's a really good guy. And I know that doesn't matter to Packer fans, but like I root for guys who are just like cool. But I think Rudy Ford is a guy. Like he's a ball hawk. He gets the ball in his hands. So
that's the big thing that the Packers are missing, I feel like. You know, I like to throw on old Packer games because I'm a nerd. And I just watching some of the games from like Tremont and Charles and when Nick Collins played, and the amount of times that when a ball was thrown, the D-back would just jump right in the frame, take the ball the other way. I feel like we don't really see that anymore. And I don't know if it's just because Joe Barry's playing off so much and you're not like pressed, you're not putting yourself in the right spots. But I think I looked today and we finished the season second to last in interceptions with 7. This year, and it's like that's pretty bad. I mean, you're not even giving your offense really a chance with some of these turnovers. The fumbles that we got were mostly due to like Preston and Gary coming around the edge, stripping the quarterback. But you didn't see interceptions like I feel like as a Packer fan we should. Yeah, it's
and if Darnell Savage catches that interception, the Packers probably win that game. I'm not dragging Darnell Savage because interception or dropped, but like throughout the year, like you look at this dude right here, Jersey Clinton Dix, like back in the day, like rookie year, his first few years, like the ball just pops up, like he's there. Like Rudy Ford's a guy too, gets under the ball. Like you just have to take advantage of those when the ball's popped up in the air. The Niners, they seem to do that. I think that's what matters, especially in the playoffs. Like you steal possessions. If you can just, it's almost lucky, but you just got to catch the ball when it gets to you.
And I mean, you're not going to be perfect, right? You know, Tremont and Charles and Collins had their fair share of drops over the years too. But I feel like the secondary that we had this year, just, you know, thinking about even one with Fields, the final week of the year, when he was rolling out and he tried hitting Komet up the sideline and Valentine broke on it and it hit him right in the palms and just dropped it. Now it's a holding penalty on Chicago that brought him back, but still, like, they ended up getting 3 points from the possession when you could have taken, I think they got three off of it, when you could have taken the ball back completely and killed momentum that they had. So those missed opportunities can be backbreaking for sure. You know, and you saw Devondre Campbell drop one against Dallas that allowed them to get points before the half. Like those can be missed, like huge missed opportunities that can really kill the game momentum and ultimately have a big impact on the rest of the season.
Yeah, like they just like, and they can gain momentum. If the offense is driving and you get that, you know, tipped interception, you can just kill it and swing it your way. And like I say, I don't drag guys for not, you know, for missing, because a lot of them are just like, it would have to be a ridiculous catch, like they're leaping. But it's like, if you can get some of those, like it's just so, so huge. So I see a lot of people over here talking about.
But I want to be clear. I make plenty of mistakes at my job every single day. You know, like I screw up all the time. So I by no means expect these players to play perfect every single snap, every single moment.
I screwed up today already just doing this. Like I couldn't get my audio working to about 20 seconds before we went live.
I mean, that's just life. The only difference is my job's not broadcasted to millions of people, thankfully.
Yeah. So, So let's talk about the defensive coordinator. They're looking, we got a comment here. Our new defensive coordinator should do better at getting our guys in position. I think Savage stays and they utilize him better. Yeah. I actually do like Darnell Savage a lot, but I don't know who the defensive coordinator should be. Cause like, I'm not like, people are like, it should be this guy, it should be that guy. But I think, you know, they're going to interview a bunch of guys. I want someone aggressive. I want someone who's going to rush the quarterback, get in the quarterback's face. I think the single key thing is getting in a quarterback's face, like blitzing up the middle, however you get it, but just get in their face. I don't care who you are. If you're the best quarterback or one of the lesser quarterbacks, it's going to throw you off.
Yeah.
So I want a defensive coordinator who's going to just be aggressive and let Jair do his thing. You know, let these guys be them. Do you have any thoughts on names, or are you kind of in the same boat I'm at?
Man, I would love to be able to sit here and pretend to be like, oh yeah, I know, like this guy's going to be the guy, or this, you know, this person's going to be best. I hope it's someone from Baltimore's defensive staff. I've seen that we're bringing in a couple names to interview, but watching Baltimore, I mean, they just look like a fun defense. They attack the ball. They make tackles. They, you know, they create turnovers. They're just an aggressive defense. I saw that they're interviewing the secondary coach
and the linebackers coach.
Yeah, but the secondary coach has had a long history of turning defensive backs into like all pros. I think he was with the Eagles for a while, made their secondary really, really strong, and then Baltimore secondary's been tremendous. So someone like that could bring a lot of value to the team and new ideas. And, you know, ultimately, I think just bringing new culture to the team in a defense that feels like we haven't been able to get it right for so long, that it'd be nice to have that culture change.
Yeah. And I think like right here, they're talking about Mark Tosher talked about it. You just mentioned Baltimore. If I had to pick with, like, I don't have a lot of knowledge, I don't know these dudes. I would want a guy from Baltimore. Like they have that nasty style of defense. They always have like a nasty defense. Like you mentioned the cornerback coach, like he, you know, makes cornerbacks all pro. And like Jair is already that dude. I think we got some dudes over there that I'm assuming that they're going to try to get some more. But yeah, I think anyone from Baltimore would be good. Cause I want a fiery, nasty defense. And like in your face, we're going to punch in the throat type of defense, not literally. We don't need to be getting penalties. I don't know if you've ever been punched in the throat. It doesn't feel good. I did in middle school. I didn't breathe for like 3 days. But, Yeah, Phil says right here, give me a linebackers coach from for defense corner. But yeah, like that Baltimore guy. Like I say, I don't know a lot about these guys. Like I'm not a like coach know it all, like whatever. But yeah, anyone I think from Baltimore is gonna make this defense better. And you know, everyone's talking about like there's some other guys, but they're like, well, he runs the same defense as Joe Barry. I don't think Joe Barry's scheme might not have been horrible. I just think some parts of it. Like, I don't like that playing off stuff. They seem to play off a lot.
Yeah.
Later in the season, they kind of didn't. Matt LaFleur, I think he said he's going to have a bigger, you know, his thumb on the game plan a little bit. And I think they did play better. They did rush the quarterback better. So I don't know if that was Matt LaFleur just saying, hey, don't do that. You know, like a dog. Stop it. Don't do that no more. But yeah, I just want a guy who's going to get after him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's obvious here. I mean, I think it's so tough, right? I think it's definitely easier to say like, oh, they should do it this way, because every defense could be susceptible to big things happening. You know, there's successful defensive coordinators that dropped or that got 70 put on them this year. You know, in Denver, their defensive coordinator is a pretty good defensive coordinator. He really turned the tide as the season went on. But he still also gave up a game with 70 points. So I think it's tough, but it's definitely going to be the biggest hire, I think, that Matt LaFleur has made in a very long time, if not ever, because you need to get it right. We've had opportunities with Pettine, now Barry, and at a certain point, like, if you're not producing, then I don't know if it's a reflection of Matt LaFleur as a whole, that he just can't find the guy that produces results, no matter how much capital we spend on the defense.
Yeah, like you need to, like I've been saying, it's like, dude, they can't miss on this defensive coordinator. Matt LaFleur cannot miss. Like if I was him, I don't know who's going to be in the hiring process, who's helping interview. I assume it's a whole front office, like they're all going to be part of it. But man, maybe Matt LaFleur shouldn't have like the final say. I don't know who does, like how that works. And I love Matt LaFleur, but they can't miss. They need a defensive coordinator that's going to be good. They can't have another one like this window's opening. They have guys on defense. They just need a coordinator that's going to run a good scheme. And I want someone that's going to especially let Jair be Jair and not these linebackers do their thing. But
well, and the tough part, do you get, so a friend and I were talking about this at work today. It's like, do you take an older defensive coordinator, someone who's established and has track record, or do you go young blood and someone who's going to be like adaptive and wanting to prove themselves in the league? And that's where it's like a tough dynamic. You know, back in 2009, they went the established route, but I also think the league has changed a lot where it's an emphasis on finding young coaches that can produce big results for you.
Yeah. And that is the question. That's what everyone's talking about. Do you want that established dude? Or do you want to, I don't really want a new defensive coordinator. I don't want someone who's not even to say that they'd never been defense coordinator before, but like some dude from college. I want someone like who's coaching the NFL,
right?
More safe. They don't have to be a defensive coordinator before. They could be a linebacker coach, whatever. But they have to. I would like a little bit younger. I don't want like some old white dude. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I want a guy who's a little bit younger and can like kind of relate with the players. You know, like just the age. I think is key when it's like, I mean, not that old dudes don't know ball. Like they've been in the league for however many years for a reason, but I would like maybe even a guy who played, but now he's a linebacker coach or now he's whatever. I just want someone who's going to be good. Like, I don't feel like this is a season that they can be like, let's take a shot at this guy. You know, he did good in college or whatever. Like I think that they need someone that is going to come in here and spark this defense. And I feel like guys who are closer to the age of the players is like, it is like so key.
Well, you're kind of seeing that across the league now, right? Because you have Bill Belichick, who is still unemployed.
Yeah.
You know, a decade ago, a coach like that hits free agency or whatever you want to call it for coaches is employable, and that dude's probably going to be the first hire right out the gate. And now every team wants youth, and they're seeing what young coaches that can be relatable, like Mike McDaniels is doing, or Kyle Shanahan, LaFleur, all these coaches that can produce these fun results because they're down to earth and like more relatable with the players. It's definitely an interesting turn in the NFL.
Yeah, right here, we got a great comment from Iowa Joe. He said, a guy I've mentioned on my site and podcast that would be a solid potential candidate, Johnny Holland from the 49ers. I see a few other people. And I think one other guy who I've seen someone else talk about is Bill Belichick's son. He's I don't know what he is, what he was in New England. I know he's a defensive coach. I don't know if he's a coordinator, if he was a linebacker coach, whatever he was. But they're like, hey, maybe if Bill Belichick doesn't have a job and his son is a DC, maybe he slides in and try to help us all a little bit. But I would assume some of that rubbed off on him. I'm not saying hire the guy, no brainer, but I'm saying maybe that'd be someone that they could look at. And I'm not sure. It could be the dumbest thing in the world. Who knows? But I think some of that had to rub off on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. Nepotism hires are never a fun thing for me, but maybe he has. Yeah. I don't pay attention. But shout out to Joe. It's been a minute, man. Hope you're doing well. But Johnny Holland has quite the track record. I mean, former Packer player,
yeah,
coach with the Packers, and you know, has worked his way around the NFL and in college from the looks of it. So I guess I didn't even realize that he was on the 49ers as a staff. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that. I saw that the other day. Yeah. I think he'd be someone worth talking to. We got another comment over here. It says, how about Donald Driver, Clay Matthews, Robert Francis, and Gilbert Brown?
Robert Francois Matthew.
Well, I'm Robert, looking at the TV far away.
Robert Francois. All
right. I'm lucky I read any of those names right. I'm looking far away on my screen. Hard to read.
You got good eyes. You should be able to see it.
No, my eye. Yeah. That's what I'm known for. I don't want them to try to hire anyone for any coaching position just because they used to play for the Packers. Like if they're good enough and they're you know, like they're a coach, but not just like, hey, bring them in because their name's up on the thing.
Yeah, I love Packers fans' passion for history and players, and I'm very passionate about Packers history. I do think the one flaw that the Packers fans have, and I've been guilty of this before, is like we love names that we know. Like yeah. Everyone wants Al Harris as the DC, and it's like he's just getting started in his defensive coordinator role or his coaching career in the NFL. I think he's been with the Cowboys now for 2 or 3 years, however long McCarthy's been there, and he's seen some success this year. But like, I also don't think you should leapfrog all these guys just because they have a history I don't know. They just because it's a name that makes you warm and fuzzy because you think about the memories, you know. Maybe one day, but if those guys just aren't in coaching, I don't want to just jump them in and throw them in coaching roles just for the fun of it.
Yeah, I think that's a recipe for disaster. Like I always say, like just interview dudes. Like so many guys get interviewed for coaching, whether it's offensive coordinator, head coach, whatever. And it's really not like likely, like even like Mike McCarthy, when he got hired, like no one really thought Matt LaFleur, a lot of people hated that hire. You just get an interview. And if they vibe with like whoever's hiring, then you can get a job. You're saying the right thing. So that's why I said interview as many people as you can. And maybe he is the guy, but yeah, I wouldn't hire Al Harris just because he was a great cornerback in Green Bay. I love Al Harris.
Yeah.
But and maybe he's worth, you know, interviewing for sure. Mm-hmm. But like, I just don't hire people just for the heck of it. But look, I want to move on. We're going to talk about next season a little bit. Where do you think that this team, not just the Packers, but the NFC North, how they look going in for next season? Like obviously, I think for me, I think it's going to be Packers, Lions, and then the Bears and the Vikings are just going to battle for last place. Because I don't even know if Kirk Cousins is going to be in Minnesota next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I will trash both those teams all offseason. And I will dedicate my life for the next couple months just to dragging both these teams because their fans absolutely hate me. And if Kirk Cousins leaves, I'll be so happy because Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. I don't give him enough credit, but he is.
It's super interesting that, you know, that Minnesota has no plan if Kirk isn't there. Yep. I mean, I don't know if there's any free agent quarterbacks that they could target outside of Kirk Cousins, but then it's a huge gamble as well as if they're going to perform and how long it's going to take to get into the offense. I don't know. And I, you know, as much as Packer fans hated the 2020 pick of Jordan Love, it's like one of those things where at least you always have that quarterback next up that you're planning moving forward. And now right now, Minnesota has no plan. I mean, I'm sure there are people in the front office at least have a plan, but I certainly don't know what they're planning on doing with him hitting free agency off of Achilles tear. That's a pretty tough spot.
That's the one thing that might actually help them is nobody else like in free agency. Like, that's why I wouldn't never let a quarterback, if you want the quarterback, if you were saying about Jordan Love, like they shouldn't sign him to a new deal because let him play out his contract and then see where it is. Like, no, that's not what you do. You don't let your quarterback go into free agency. Yeah. Like that's stupid. And like with Kirk Cousins, they did, but it might help him because he had the injury that other teams aren't going to, might not be clamoring to jump on him. They might be able to bring him back at a discount. And he, obviously I would assume he likes Minnesota. He lives there and his family's living there. So I think maybe he would want to come back, but maybe not. I don't even know how long Justin Jefferson wants to be there. If Kirk Cousins leaves, he might be like, bro, what am I doing here? You're not wasting my prime.
Yeah.
Sitting over here getting thrown to by this dude that overthrows me, thrown into third row every freaking play.
Yeah.
So I think that team might be falling apart.
And I mean, it is a strong quarterback year. So do they try to draft someone with their 10th overall pick, whatever they're drafting? Do they try to move up and snag a guy? But that's a huge gamble as well. It's certainly interesting, but kind of going back to your initial question, like I could see if he moves on. I mean, barring any crazy injuries, I think it'll be Detroit and Green Bay battling it out for the North. I do think Detroit, if they draft well again, they could be a pretty scary team again. But I think that's a fun change to have that be the rivalry for once for a while.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, I guess back in the day, I mean, with Ndamukong Suh, some of those games felt like a rivalry game, just even though the Lions were often on the losing end of it. But Suh would make it so personal. And, you know, him stomping on, was it Evan Dietrich Smith back in the day? And just like the fights that would happen between the two teams. So there's always been some strong games there, but I do think it'll be, you know, if Kirk Cousins departs and they just don't have their quarterback, I would not be surprised if it shakes out how you said, where Chicago and Minnesota are kind of in their own feud for third, and then Green Bay and Detroit are trying to see who takes the North.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked about the Lions, like there was some rivalry type stuff, but because like, even when the Packers are good, the Lions like play up for them a little bit and they kind of beat us a few times. And you talk about Suh, he was stomping on Rodgers, I believe, that one time he was trying to stomp him out. But I think it'll be fun. We'll see how good Lion fans are at talking trash, because I realize so far Lion fans not real great at talking trash. Like I'm pretty good at trash talking because I do it so much. But like when your team sucks, like even like that 4-game stretch, I still talked a little bit, but I just simmer down a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? It's a lot easier to talk trash when your team is like balling out. I think we're going to find how good at Lion fans are at running their mouth. And I'm looking forward to it because I think it's going to be the Packers. It's going to be the Lions. I believe the Packers are going to win the division. I believe the Packers are maybe have the number one seed. Like if you look at the NFC right now, I believe that the Packers can be the number one team in the NFC. I don't think the NFC is like crazy scary next year. It's going to be the Niners. I assume a lot of those teams that were big this season are going to come back. The Eagles, we'll see. Like the Cowboys, every year they're going to talk about them. We'll see. And I saw Jerry Jones saying he's going all in, which I thought was hilarious. Jerry Jones said the Cowboys are going all in. What were you doing before, bro?
Just
winging it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the tough part with going all in is that you can really, like we talked about, you know, you're putting it all in the credit card, but that bill's going to come due sometime. And it's that question of, do you want to leverage tomorrow for today? And if that doesn't pay off, then you're stuck kind of in a hole that makes it a lot harder to get out of. So it should be interesting to see what he does there with going all in. I don't think owners should have a say in the football day to day.
Yeah, that's
like, dude, you should just hire people for that job. Like, don't.
Yeah,
you're an owner for a reason. Like, hire a GM that you can fire if you don't like what they're doing. But as an owner and GM, and just like executive say over everything, I just think that's a rough way to go.
Yeah, I think that's why the Cowboys always suck and they never really get there, because the owner's always chirping in, and then he says stupid stuff nonstop. like they'll lose a game. He's like, I don't know. Basically, like, I might fire the guy. You never know. He's like on the radio just saying, like, in, you know, kind of like implying stuff. It's just stupid. Yeah, like you say, if he hired a really good GM and let him do his thing, and he could even watch over him, be in the room with them, kind of, you know, co-GM, and even like where, you know, he has a say. But like, he's just too involved. He's an idiot. I don't like Jerry Jones at all. I think he's just an old dude who's always chirping. Every time the Cowboys lose, I'm happy. I like Mike McCarthy. I actually do. Like, I'll never have hate for Mike McCarthy. But I've already said like how I feel about Mike McCarthy. But I still like to see them lose to the Packers. Like that was like one of the most joyous feelings I've ever had ever, like, on a live stream. I was so pumped. I was just screaming at the end of that thing, just telling everybody what now. But I think next year the Packers can, you know, I don't really have a real prediction, but I would say that they're going to win at least 13 games next year. Dude, I'm absolutely stoked
for next season. That's a lot, man. I love your optimism.
Dude, optimistic as heck, dude. I said that when you were coming on. I'm like, this is the most positive group of podcasts that we've ever had, probably, but maybe I'm more than you.
I'm an optimistic person, and I'm an optimistic Packers fan, but I also understand that, like, all it takes is like one injury and now your season's derailed for a few games, or maybe you're just hitting a funk, or maybe like you just, you know, we saw it this year. You had a few stretches where the ball bounced the wrong way and it resulted in the Packers losing the game. It's such a game of inches. I do think the Packers make the postseason. I could see them splitting the Lions depending on what happens with the Vikings. I could see that splitting. Cardinals, yeah, you're probably winning that. Texans, that's a tough matchup. Colts, hard to say what happens there. Dolphins, another hard game. Saints, San Francisco, another tough game. Jacksonville, Rams, Eagles, Seattle, Titans.
Win.
Dude, you're like James Jones, just going down the board, just saying win. I mean, I have always been a fan of being like more of an underdog going into things. I don't know if it's just because in my lifetime, every time we've been like the one seed or two seed, it just doesn't go well for us. But I don't know. I would rather, I think it'd be fun just to kind of get hot at the right time like this year and maybe take that experience going into the postseason, riding that. But it's going to be a tough year, man. But those same things that I've called out could happen to any of those teams as well and alter their season. So I don't know. We'll see. 14 games for you. I'm going to say 10 or 11.
All right. And those can change. We're going to get you to change those throughout the offseason. But I think that this team, they're thinking the first year, like with this offense kind of getting to know each other, they feel like they should have won that game. I guarantee you, like in the locker room, like, man, how did we let that one go? Because like even like the Campbell from the Lions said, it's hard to get to this point. It's hard to get to the playoffs. It's hard to win playoff games. Like, and they had it right there. They got to feel like they were one of the better teams. So this whole offseason, they're going to be fired up. I mean, they're going to come in and they're going to be like just ready to go. Jordan Love, like, is going to go off. Matt LaFleur said it. Like, next year, there's no, this is the youngest team in the league. There's no, even if they are, that's not an excuse. Now you're expected to win. Next season, everyone's going to be expected to win. Everyone's going to have that same mentality in the locker room. They're going to be jacked up and they're going to go out there and just start baiting some booty. You know what I mean? They're going to go out there fierce. I think the Packers are absolutely going to come out firing it next season. I could see them like starting. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I will talk about this like all off season. But I think that they're going to come out and they're going to get a nice big streak going on. They're going to go out there and just start dismantling some fool. But like everyone's saying in the comments, like it has a lot to do with the defensive coordinators.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
who they hire,
if that defense,
they vibe together.
If that defense can show up and you can put together a top 10 defense, I mean, then I think 13 to 14 wins is a very realistic thing. I don't really have a doubt on the offense, you know, barring any crazy injuries or anything like that. But I just think, like, until I actually see a defense perform, I'm always going to be like a little leery to be saying like, oh, it's going to be fixed and everything's going to be fine. You know, no, I remember being on a podcast with you like 2 years ago and you're like, dude, this defense, there's no weak spots. We have this and we have this. And I'm just like, oh, man, let's pump our brakes. Let's see him put it together. On paper, it's not there.
or on paper it's there, but we don't see it yet. And like,
yeah,
I'm still that way. I love your optimism. I love how much you're just like, dude, yeah, it's all perfect. But that's the role we both play, right? Like, that's why you're you and I'm me, and you trash talk everyone relentlessly, and I'm just like, okay, you know, we're just having fun.
Dude, that's the thing is, like, one year I did say that. I said the Packers will have a top five defense. And they came out, like, the beginning of the season. It was, like, 20th or something. And, like, someone, like, called me out on a podcast. And it was, like, this they showed the clip. And they're like, where's your top five defense? Like, I think it was Bears fan or Viking fan. You see that I was on Minnesota radio?
Yeah. Carl giving you the shout-out on KFan, yeah, right?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Dude, I used to listen to KFan quite a bit before I moved to Green Bay years and years ago. And Carl would always come on there. I'm like, is this guy a bit, or is he just like that diehard of a Packers fan? I still don't know the answer to it, but
I think, you know, it's a bit, people say, but I don't know.
It always cracks me up though when he would come on and just like, cause he's just so ridiculous, right? He's just like the token Packers fan coming on there and just trash talking, and it's a good time.
Yeah, I saw people saying, like, it's a bit. You shouldn't take it as a compliment. I'm like, well, I do. Dude, anytime someone talks to me on the radio, dude, I'm pumped up. I was on Chicago radio, and they literally dragged me for, like, 10 minutes, yeah, maybe more. I stopped listening, but I was glad it happened. I was like, all right, they're getting a little aggressive. they wanted to hurt feelings.
I think, like, so I know there's a lot of Packer fans in the Minnesota area that listen to KFan, even if they're not Vikings fans or Minnesota sports radio. So the fact that like they're bringing your name up is bringing your name to a lot of ears of Packers fans. So I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I mean, bad publicity is still good publicity. So, you know, anytime you're being mentioned, it's going to be a good time.
I'm going to play this so people can hear what we're talking with, people who wouldn't see it.
Post on the 24th where you said Vikings fans love to talk. We forgot you existed. You retweeted that Matt.
That's not my post. That's
someone else. You retweeted it.
That doesn't indicate that I agree.
That's a subtle, interesting point of view. Why is he sponsoring the Packers stuff? He should be. We're going to get our sales guy.
What are you talking about?
Whatever you just retweeted.
Matt Ramage, man.
I haven't met Matt Ramage.
Have you seen his stuff?
No.
Oh, yeah, on the internet.
Dude.
Matt Ramage is. Oh, man.
You got to get to
everybody in the audience. Go follow Matt Ramage and tell him you followed him.
You retweeted the guy.
Dude, that was awesome. I don't know how good you guys could hear that from my phone, but I thought that was great. And then someone said later on they mentioned me again. They kind of made fun of my eyes, which I'm all for. I don't care what you say about me. Just talk about me on the radio. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
But it actually, you know, any press is good press. You know what I mean? I know. I didn't think it's because, like, when I first started doing this, like, we talked, like, I wouldn't even be doing a podcast if it wasn't for Mr. Green Bay guy over here. So I think it's now that people actually mention me with, like, other podcasters and mention me with other people and, like, drag me on Minnesota radio, I think that's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. You know what I mean? But,
yeah,
here we go.
I think that's I don't know if anyone on KFan wants to trash me a little bit. I'm certainly welcoming it. I think it's a good thing. Never a bad thing.
I think you don't talk enough trash.
I certainly don't.
People see me because I'll make a video just like, your team sucks. And then that's what it was. I said, people forgot Viking fans existed. I was talking with Ryan Schlipp from the Packernet podcast, and we were dragging him a little bit. But anyways, we're going to wrap this thing up. This is the Green Bay guy. You can follow him on Facebook, Twitter. I don't think you're real active on Twitter, but you're there. Instagram for sure. And give him a follow. He's putting out some good content. And you can check out thegreenbayguy.com. And they got, if you're coming to a Packer game next season, you don't know where to eat, don't know what to do, he's got a website, kind of helps people from outside of town kind of know what to do in town. Because people always ask me, like, where should I eat? I'm like, bro, I eat at Kroll's. I mean, I like Kroll's. But if you want to get a better list and kind of get a view, the Green Bay guy's got you set up. You know what I mean? Mr. Benny. He's the most loved Packer fan, I think, on the internet. Always positive.
That's
never my guy, getting Casey, into trouble.
Shout out Casey.
You know what I mean? Go Green Bay guy. Everyone loves Ben, you know? I mean, I always get comments every now and again, like, I'm a Packer fan, but I can't stand you. And I'm like, all
right. I get that too, though. I mean, no matter what on the internet, people are going to be, they're going to get mad over everything. So it's welcome to the internet. But I think what you do is fun. I certainly couldn't do what you do, man. I couldn't deal with like the, I'm not good at trash talking one, and two, like I get annoyed when I get trash talked too. So I certainly couldn't do what you do. So there's a place for all of us. I'll direct all hate mail to you because you know how to handle it a lot better than I do.
Yeah, I mean, I talk trash, but I never take it personally. It's all fun. Like, even, like, Bear fans, a lot of them, most fans understand what I'm doing. Like, we're having fun. I'm not, like, digging in their profile, like, yeah, your kid's ugly. Like, I see that, like, I in my comments on Facebook with two people fighting, and then they're, like, digging into someone's profile. I was like, dude, why are you taking it to another level? Like, just say, I'll talk about your team. I'm not talking about you. Yeah. And even players, I don't drag players. I don't drag Justin Fields. I say the Bears suck. And, like, you know, sometimes I'll laugh at Justin Fields. He had a bad game. But I'm not like, yeah, screw that guy. You know, I'm not like that. It's not, it's never negative.
It's all in good fun. You know? Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? But anyways, we're going to wrap this thing up. I appreciate everyone who followed. If you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, be sure to subscribe on YouTube, follow on Facebook, and if you listen to the podcast, I appreciate it. And go Pack Go. And if you're not following the podcast, you know, you can listen to the audio version. Check out thematramage.com. You can find all my podcasts. You can find my merch. You can find all the things I'm doing over there. But there we go.
Beautiful website, by the way. Beautiful website.
Yeah, Ben. Yo, Mr. Green Bay guy designed my website. And that's why it looks so good. How can you make this face look good? You know what I mean? We got Ben over here doing it. But we are out of here. Go Pack Go. And be sure to check out the Green Bay guy.